Will they find a home? Sponsored by GEICO. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at GEICO.com.
It's time for the Bits and Pieces Podcast, featuring your hosts, Jessica Alsman, Jessica Hooker, Jason Hossett, and Willie Griswold.
Thank you, Dino. Welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. We got Jess, we got Jessica, we got Jason. I'm here. What a weird, weird week. The first thing I have in this is, let's just start off with another fart piece. So we're talking farts. A man has walked into the room.
Oh, my God.
So it must be some sort of expert on farts, I assume. It's Dean Metcalf.
What a surprise.
We already did a fart episode.
Dino, is this the Dino episode?
I don't know. I was told to come in here. What are we doing?
Yes, it is a Dean episode.
I'm so excited.
Yay. You got us, Jason.
I mean, every episode's kind of a Dean episode.
Oh, for sure.
Because he produces 4 out of 5, 9 out of 10, whatever.
I was never good with math, Jason.
Yes,
I
know.
So, yeah, we got... Oh my goodness! Should we pull the curtain back? I don't know. Do we do all the famous Dino voices, or should we take it slow?
You can tell if it's my voice because it'll sound a lot like this.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you're hanging out and you're a little handsome dude, alert! Some sort of siren that goes off when a handsome dude's voices.
Whoop, whoop,
that's the Dino.
Whoop.
To be wee wee wee. Handsome dude alert! We hear it.
Look out!
I was hoping that was like a little Ian St. Ian intro, but not really.
A little bit.
Just needed the yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, we'll get to some Ian St. Ian eventually. Yeah, there's so many things to cover with Dean. It's we can't do it all in one podcast as it is. So this is just more of a sampling to get you to wet your beak, I guess.
Okay.
Wow.
So, wow.
I didn't know we're using euphemisms on
this
show.
Yes. I heard it once on a show somewhere. A
little appetizer sampler with Dean
there
Metcalf.
You go.
Well, should we just do it? Should we
Let's
just get right
in.
Into it?
Yeah.
Dean, I didn't have any prep. I want to ask you questions that are good, but I didn't have any prep for this.
All questions are good or bad. They're all regular.
Well, you're killing so far, so let's get into it. This is another fart piece.
Are you doing your last news story, Christy?
Oh, I can do one.
Oh, go for
you
it. You said you had one more.
If art museums are a little too stuffy.
Fart museum.
Art.
Oh.
I'd go to a fart museum.
Hell yes! Farts through the ages?
It's a little hard to document.
The dawn of fart. How old
Hold
am
on.
I?
Hold on a second.
Am I going to be still making fun of farts at 50?
Good
I don't
morning,
know.
Bob and okay. Tom Show.
Hey, Bob and Tom Show?
Yes.
Call for the fart museum?
Oh, yeah?
Chick, I just want to crack you. You don't want to come here.
You so don't,
I,
why
I gather,
not?
I gather it's fully all-dimensional smell-o-vision.
It stinks. Lousy museum.
Really?
Oh, this museum is no good at all.
Whoa. Oh, whoa, man. What was that?
Oh, it's part of the multimedia display they got going on.
Uh-huh.
When you walk in.
Right.
Oh, it's unbelievable. There's just like this big air compressor there. It blows farts at people.
Wow.
Do they smell?
Oh, it smells awful. The only way we really make money is through our concession area.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you sell there?
Well, we rent raincoats for the back part of the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Now, does it have? What's the atmosphere like there? Is it real
the
thick?
Atmosphere.
Sounds thick. Man.
Humid and cloudy.
Now, do you have, is your fart museum primarily contemporary, or is it modern, or do you have classical pieces?
Mostly fart deco.
Oh. Really?
Okay.
In the style, and while I got...
Excuse me?
Oh, boy.
Do you work here?
Yeah, I work here.
My family and I would like to get our money back.
Right out front, no refund.
What was that?
That was our tribute to all the little people that played the Munchkins. Let me take you into this one room.
Okay.
I want to show you what's going on here.
All right, what's in there?
What is it?
Which room are you in?
Oh, it's the SBD room.
Oh, boy.
Silent but deadly?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Okay.
I got to go because, man, this is unbelievable. This is like the third time this month already.
Uh-huh.
We got a re-wallpaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to go.
Say, where are you guys located?
We're in Brownsville, Texas.
The Fart Museum. Incredible.
Wow. I was a college graduate at that point, and that was my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
No, yeah, I'm using my degree. No, I did the fart deco joke. I learned that in art history.
That's right.
Yeah, so Chick says, am I still going to be laughing at farts when I'm 50? He's probably 40-ish, I guess. I don't know. Somewhere in there in his 40s.
Yeah, this was probably 20 years. This was probably 20. This is 01, 02, I bet.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The only way I could narrow it down, I knew it was somewhere between 95 and 05.
Okay.
Probably closest. Right in the middle there, yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So you think, Dean, that was one of those that, I mean, obviously Christy made a slip.
Oh, the whole thing was just because she said,
yeah.
Yeah, of art, whatever it was.
If art
museums are your thing, yeah. And everybody started laughing, saying, oh, fart museum, haha. So I decided to call in, and the main thing I remember from that, you hear Mark, that's Mark Allison, coming in going, I want my family, wants my money back. But the fart noises in the background were Mark Patrick.
Okay, oh, wow. I was wondering if someone had to be in there doing that with you.
And there's one point where you hear me kind of start laughing. They ask me something, I'm like, because Mark is literally spitting all over my face.
Oh, no.
He's right. I'm holding the phone. He's right here in my face.
Oh. Is he like, on his elbow and that kind of thing?
So you didn't have one of these?
No. Ooh. Those were all man-made.
And it was like pre-YouTube, so you can't just Google fart compilation and just kind of hope for the best and play it off the speakers.
Right. Yeah.
I have a very serious question.
Uh-oh.
When Bob asks, what city is the Fart Museum located in? You giggle for like half a second.
Sure, because you got to.
Are you deciding the best fart city in your head? Or?
Because there probably was one other Brown joke or I can't even remember what the other one that is. Yeah, kind
you could
of
do
standard.
Like there's like Chicago Windy City is an option. There's like
right.
a couple ways you can go with a fart joke, and so I just love that. There's like a little
but
moment.
That, it was probably just that split second kind of oh crap a fart joke Brownsville,
but it kills and like it seems like the call is kind of losing speed a little bit, and that just picks it up so much.
And that was always the fun of those because we never knew where they were gonna go, and like with that one, I'm thinking like okay, the SBD room, you know, where you just. We're going in here, and it's quiet, and they're all like, you know, what? The SBD room,
right.
And they're all, uh-huh. Or, like, there's not a big laugh or anything. You just never know.
Well, the one that upset me was Tom obviously set you up for the fart deco joke.
Right.
To me, he was setting you up, and obviously you took it and figured it out. They got no laughs. It barely had a laugh.
And I don't remember at that point, like, if it was something that we kind of knew was coming or if it was you know, what...
I thought it was perfect.
I always tell the story. Your dad, like, we would go to lunch. There'd be a bunch of people at lunch. And I still remember one day, just dead serious. He goes, that thing you said today, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hilarious. And I just started laughing. I go, yeah, you wouldn't know it by on the air because you didn't make a peep.
I know exactly what that was. Yeah. You did a really good pun and you did it quickly. He was too impressed to think
he
it
just
was funny.
Doesn't react to it or whatever. Right. That was hilarious.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you for noticing.
When a pun is too like apt, when it fits too perfectly and it's that good, it's too impressive to be funny for my dad for sometimes.
Right.
And Chick, I remember he was laughing, and it wasn't anything I did, but it was some bit or something later. He was talking about it. He goes, that just made me mad. I'll never come up with something that funny. It just made me mad.
Yeah.
So did you go, as soon as you were like, all right, we're doing this call-in, do you grab Mark Allison and go, hey, give me about a minute and a half, and then you run in and go, I want a refund.
No, not at all. I'm pretty sure that was just something that Mark came up with.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
Yeah, because he, you know, he sometimes would, you know, walk by and run in, and every now and then he would like try to jot something down on a piece of paper if he thought it might be funny to throw in. But
I've always wondered, it's like, are these actually kind of planned out? Like, here's the roadmap for where I'm going, or if it's just 100% improv? Because half the time it all makes sense. It all is organized. So I'm like, surely it has to be written down, but you're just going off the cuff and
rarely. I mean, occasionally there'd be like something that, you know, you kind of think, oh, okay, here's a pun or a joke or whatever, an angle on it. But no, typically we would just call in and hope something happens.
That's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. The audience is very forgiving and forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they remember the funny stuff and they don't mind the other 49 times that nothing happens.
I just love how like Chick immediately responds and him and Bob and yes, I would go to a fart museum. And I think that's 20 years ago before we had literally worn out butts and ass and poop and farts and all the things. Like, do you think that would still get the same reaction
today? Oh, I wish we had worn them out.
Right.
I thought, sure, well,
I mean,
we would grow up.
It seemed so innocent and juvenile, like the response, like a boy response to a fart, and it's two grown adult men, and they were like, "Yeah!" They were so excited.
It's very sweet.
It is kind of sweet. Yeah.
Well, this is something of legend. This is the first Ian St. Ian appearance.
It's time for Rock Minute with your host Ian St. Ian.
Right, this is Ian St. Ian. Welcome to Rock Minute. As usual, Rock Minute is brought to you by Gibson and Marshall. If you're not playing Gibson and Marshall, you're a wanker. Right. We've got a very unusual show today. We're not going to have a rock star as our guest. Oh. No, it's a very special guest. My guest today just turned 100 years old, and she's the most popular of the royal family. That's right, it's our very own Queen Mum. God save the Queen, hello. Normally I wouldn't bother interviewing you palace liar, gang of inbreed royal buggers. Makes me want to pick my guts out of it. But you seem a bit of all right, Queen Mum.
That's quite kind of you to say. I know we must appear terribly out of touch with the common person, but I say to you what I say to all of our critics. Piss off or I'll have you beheaded. Any wankers here?
Oh, right. I knew there was a reason I liked you. It's that feisty attitude of yours.
Bloody wankers.
So, tell us, what's your secret for living to be such a withered old bird?
Oh, just a matter of taking care of oneself, really. I watch what I eat, smoke only menthol lights, and every morning my pulsating shower head gives me naughty parts a bit of a wake-up, if you know what I mean.
Oh, bloody Christ. Don't be talking like that. It's like listening to me own granny talk about wanking off.
What's wrong, love? Does it make you a bit barfy knowing that all people still like to snog?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we do. The only problem is, when you're 100, it's tough to find blokes your own age who remember how to do it. Did you know I used to go about with Keith Richards?
What? Keith from the Rolling Stones? That Keith Richards? I don't believe it.
Oh, yes. And it was nice, because he's such a used-up blighter. Next to him, I look like bloody Elizabeth Hurley. It's not like I'm picky when it comes to blokes. I just want one who's wide through the shoulders, dark hair, not too many tattoos, and no piercings in his willy. I especially don't like the one named after me late husband, Prince Albert. But I do like them to have a nice thick piece of sausage in the trousers, if you know what I mean.
Oh, look, I'm warning you, you old corpse. No more sex talk. I'm shriveling up just at the thought of you thrashing about under some wanker.
Oh, Ian, truth be told, I prefer it from the back.
All right, that's it. Stop it.
Yes, well, I'm tied up with some clamps pinching me nipples.
No, that's it, right. Queen Mum or not, off you go. Get the hell out of the studio before I throw you out. Why don't you just bloody drop dead and give someone else a chance, you whorish old tart. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday then, eh?
No, thank you. Would you like to be a knight?
Right.
This has been Rock Minute with your host, Ian St. Ian.
Man, that's a lot of Dean.
Wow. A
lot of Dean.
I thought it was uncomfortable hearing myself do one voice on a
book. Exactly,
back
right?
To back.
And this is going to sound very mean, but I feel like it's lucky that you got to have like this sort of like be an entertainment creator. Because if you just heard it, they'd be like, oh, that's a crazy guy under a bridge talking to him, having a conversation.
Right, talking to himself.
He thinks he's British. He thinks he's the queen. He's nuts. But no, that's poor perfect, bastard. Man.
Yeah, I'm almost sure. I don't think anybody from the royal family ever heard that.
No.
I don't think that ever. No, I hope. I hope that didn't make it to them.
You never know, right?
I don't think that would go over well.
How did the Ian St. Ian character evolve? Like, where did that come from? Do you remember?
As far as on the show, I mean, everybody always, you know, we always did Spinal Tap, you know.
Oh, okay.
That kind of roadie, rock star, whatever thing.
Gotcha.
And but somehow the first time it came up, it was supposed to be Ian was on tour. He was a roadie that was on tour with somebody. I can't remember who it was now, and got left behind.
Oh, okay.
And so he was just stuck in Indianapolis, and he would pop on the show every now and then.
Really?
Bitching about something, yeah.
That's funny.
Are you also the intro voice to that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, just making sure.
It's slowed. It's like
it's very slowed down.
It's
time. Yeah, okay. I assumed it, but I just wanted verification.
Because there used to be a show, God, what was it called? It was some rock show that was an interview show or whatever. They had kind of a simple, you know, it's Rock Minute.
Right.
We're going to melt your face off. It was a takeoff on rock.
Today we're talking fusion versus math metal.
Yeah. That's right.
Hell yeah.
Well, Dean is a bit of a rocker. He's a very good guitarist, bassist, etc. And there's a little bit of autobiographical in there with you as a rocker,
yeah, because,
right?
Yeah, I love all the rock talk and all that. And that's actually, that's so what happened. Whatever year Ian started, 1991, I would bet,
probably,
somewhere early on. And so I would do that character. So then I would come in every day with the guitar to do the Cash song contest.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Name that tune or whatever. We'd, you know, so you play some little riff and the listener would have to guess what it was and blah, blah, blah. And so it became a thing that then anytime I was coming in on the air, I was Ian.
Oh, yeah.
So after a while, it would have nothing to do with, you know, a character or anything. And Tom's like I would be with Chick reporting on something or whatever. And Tom's Ian, can you tell us what you said? Oh, yes. Okay. We're at the Kroger. And over here, there's a lady. And it was the weirdest thing.
Yes.
It wasn't planned. He'd just start calling you Ian. You're like, well, I guess I'm Ian.
Well,
now.
I mean, it was just kind of that's who's in there on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like, yeah, if Donnie Baker.
Right.
You know, we're here. Tom's not all of a sudden going to start calling him Ron or whatever. It's just like, well, it's Donnie Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it would slip in and just the real, like, there's no joke here or anything. Tell us what's going on. You know,
there's a cashier over there.
Right. Yeah. I totally remember that. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it got weird.
Ian St. Ian could probably do a lot of good for folks if it, doing promo stuff at Kroger's all across this great state.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to do some personal appearances.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are the early days when.
What is the Ian St. Ian outfit?
It's this giant long coat thing that had British flags and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
And,
if you find a picture, Jess,
I might find one.
Well,
we'll see.
Floating around, a wig. And
Man.
And my favorite Ian St. Ian story, so do you remember Jimmy Mad Dog Matus had a bit called The Dog House?
Where
listeners would write in going, I'm in trouble with my wife or whatever. And Dog would try to help him out. So I'm at home one afternoon, and Dog calls. He goes, hey, can you come on the air with me a little bit? Okay. The doghouse thing was a guy was in trouble because he lied to this girl and told her he was Ian St. Ian.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's at a bar. So they hook up. Well, then they start dating. So now he's like 3 months into this thing, and she still thinks.
And he's doing the voice and everything.
Yeah. And so now he's wanting to come clean to her. And
but
blah,
it's
blah,
such
blah,
a
blah.
Hard voice to do.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, man.
It's so consistent.
But I guess the guy actually like bought a wig and stuff.
Oh, my God.
To have this thing around. So he'd go, I've got to go do a thing.
So people are catfishing as Christy on these apps, and you were catfished, not you, but someone's catfishing someone else.
Oh, wow.
And this was, Ian St. Ian.
This was pre-internet.
Sure.
So,
so I think I was misunderstanding. He was saying, I play the character Ian St. Ian.
Right,
he
right,
wasn't
right.
doing Ian St. Ian in bed
Full
or anything.
Time. Yeah,
oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
All right. I'm Ian St. Ian. Do you want to split some appetizers?
Okay, guys, it's not that crazy because I have seen Ron meet people and they totally think that Donnie Baker is not a character.
Oh, I don't think they want him to come out.
No.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
No, I've talked to people who were quite surprised to find out, you're not really Amish? With the No.
I had teachers when I was in elementary school, they'd be like, how did they get Bill Clinton to call in so often?
Yeah.
How did they get the former president? I go, that's not the former president. What are you talking about?
Well, that's Larry King.
Yeah.
You're my teacher, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be learning me up on stuff, right?
Teachers that liked the Bob and Tom show growing up were always so funny. Oh, yes. They just always want to talk to me about, like, hey, who does that shirtless girl voice in there?
Yeah.
Who's the guy saying, sorry?
Yeah, Max does that. Max has come home a couple of times and been like, the teacher that I thought was the biggest dork came up to me and was like, hey, is so-and-so real or whatever it is? And Max is like, you listen to the show?
Right.
Like, okay. In shock, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was like, and then all of a sudden we were buddies. So, yeah, that's kind of funny when it comes out like that.
It's fun. Yeah. Makes the world a little smaller.
Yeah.
So last Ian St. Ian question, Dean. Estimate, how many Gibson and or Marshalls do you have at home?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah, that really would be tough. I don't have a lot of Marshalls. I've got a few cheaper, smaller Marshall amps. But, yeah, Gibsons, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
Dozens, right?
I've at least between basses and guitars, probably at least 20.
Oh, that's the best.
Do you have like the big iconic Marshall stack though?
I don't have a real Marshall stack. I've got a Marshall stack refrigerator.
Hell yeah.
Mini fridge thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How many guitars do you have in your office right now here?
There's a good seven.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at six, yeah, well, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they all still work after Oskay crashed them down a couple weeks ago?
No, he didn't. I didn't know about this.
It all came crashing down.
Did he start crying? Because he would probably
We all cried.
We cried. Fort Dean was super sweet about it.
I've seen worse at home.
Yeah.
No, but it was, yeah, he leaned back. He leaned back on the seat. He's just talking, relaxed. All of a sudden, the two legs just collapse under it. And all these guitars come.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yes, it was brutal.
Well, we got the former president calling. We got a lot of people calling. We do get a lot of big calls on the show.
Morning, Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, Bob and Tom Show.
Yes.
Hey, boys, is it a Pope?
Hey, your pontifness, how are you?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm on a Pope phone in the Pope mobile.
Where are you heading?
Oh, just driving around Vatican City, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's not... yeah, how you doing? That's nice. How you doing?
Uh-huh. I guess you get recognized a lot.
The man, yeah.
No, you are the man here, Pope.
Yeah.
All right, Matella, you this is getting so old. You know, you're driving. I hear you guys are talking. Yes, I'm the pontiff.
We were talking about road rage.
Well, you know, you just got to learn how to calm down.
Uh-huh.
Take it easy. We all are brothers out here.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. Yes, hello. Have a nice day. Man, bless you. Hey, idiot, it's the one on the right. You step on it.
Wow, even the Pope.
You know, that's the trick, is to just to kick back and relax, you know, maybe pick up some tunes or whatever.
Well, you're a very...
Hey, Grandma, it's green. Down there, I can understand how you get upset at some of these drivers out there.
Yeah, well, sure.
They don't know what they're doing. Oh, that's the fire. I knew you was going to turn left. No need to tell me. You know, it gets a... Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, have a nice time in hell.
Oh, the Pope even gets that.
He's rough.
You try to be a decent fella.
Yeah,
sure.
Calm down.
And there's always, you know, one guy out there trying to, you know, make things tougher for everybody else.
Get you all upset.
You know, hey, you might want to scoot up a little bit. Maybe I can make room for you in my trunk. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's nice. Is it Jesus your co-pilot? Well, I hope not, because you're going to kill him. Hey, the horn blows. How about the driver?
Well, you better hang up and get to where you're going, Pope.
Well, I'm going to have to hang up because I'm pulling over here and it's a Dunkin' the door. It's a parking lot, and we're going to have that. Hey, it's a go time, Skippy. Come on.
It's go time, Skippy.
Go time, Skippy.
I didn't know they had Dunkin' Donuts in Vatican City.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
The official
things...
donut.
Yeah. So that must have been John Paul II, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and again, this was probably early 2000s, 01, 02, 03, somewhere in there.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because every Pope, it's the same voice, and every time, oh, there's always listeners, right?
Oh, you know, the Pope is from Argentina, right?
He's German.
He's German.
Fill in the blank.
He's always Italian. He lives in Italy. So
he lives
has
in Italy.
To, right.
Picks up the accent.
He has to, right?
I think that's the thing, though. It's that it's just this random accent, and you can't really trace it back to any country or origin, so it can't be offensive. You're not making fun of a specific voice.
It's vaguely Italian. It's let's face it, the accent is pure Father Guido Sarducci.
Yes. And I didn't know a Father Guido. And when I was younger, I knew the Bob and Tom Show, always listened until that Father Guido was on an episode of Married with Children. And I go, this dude is ripping off the Pope.
Ripping off the Pope. That's
so funny.
I was like,
Dean's accent.
I was like, I wonder if they know this. And I'm like, a kid, I have no idea. And I think they're like, oh, he's been around for a while, too.
And then it might have been during that time when Tom thought SNL was stealing some of our bits. And you're probably like, yes. And Married with Children stealing the, of course.
That's funny.
I love it. That whole thing, I mean, that's what you do a lot of times, Dean, is just... You create an absurd situation. You know, obviously the Pope's probably not. I mean, it sounds like he's doing the, you know, no, guys, I'll drive today.
I got this.
You got me right there, let alone with all the fun jokes.
The visual, the idea of seeing the Pope driving around and getting pissed. It's relatable.
It's totally.
We don't hear the conversation before the call-in. Were they talking about the Pope at all, or they're just talking about road rage?
Talking about road rage.
Okay, cool.
Oh, okay.
So you just go, because then you keep hearing, Carlini has this line, even the Pope
even
gets
the
road
Pope
rage. And that's the thesis of this piece. It's such...
so pervasive.
I love that even more.
The most patient people.
It wasn't about the Pope. They weren't even talking about the Pope, but the Pope calls in. And that's the mind bomb as a listener. I love when the phone rings. You never know who it is. And as soon as you hear the Pope, it's like, the Pope!
It's the Pope. It's the Pope weighing in. Could have been Jumbo. Could have been...
Pepe Lescrota. Like, Chick would always get so excited when you would call in as Pepe.
Pepe Lescrota.
Are those your real road rage lines? You don't have to turn a left. You don't have to tell me to turn a left.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there would have been a lot more cusses. If I were being real. I get the road rage every now and then. People cut me off. Or
I got it very bad yesterday. I flipped off a man on a bicycle.
Flip people off?
No, I did. It was, I don't want to talk about it because I'm going to go crazy. I feel like my dad. It's just, this guy was turning onto it's a road that's a road, but it's like basically a highway. It's close to us right now.
Yes.
And he was turning on his bike and I was like giving him time to finish the turn. And then he started like doing some unrecognizable hand gesture. And I'm just taking it slow. I'm going to let him finish because I'm not going to run over a guy on a bike.
Yeah. Right.
And then he turns at me and like yells at me and starts going like, oh, la, la, like putting his hand. I'm like, this means nothing, pal. You're doing nothing with that. So then I pointed at him and then I gave him the finger. I shouldn't have said that.
I shouldn't have said that at all. Sorry.
Got road rage on the mind. But the best line of that for me, you got Jesus on board. You're going to kill him.
He's your co-pilot.
Since this aired, I've been saying the horn blows. How about the driver?
My gosh.
I've been saying it.
That's a long-standing thing
it
on
is,
this show.
Right?
I mean, on this show.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't remember where it first
I had a similar situation where I heard it on the show after. Mm-hmm. My Aunt Rosie used to say it all the time when we would be with her. And I never got the joke. I mean, I was little. I didn't get the joke. And so then I heard it on here, and I was like, she didn't write that? I was like, that's my Aunt Rosie's line. They're stealing from my Aunt Rosie. Yeah.
You guys were writing letters. Yeah.
Oh, Rosie.
Well, this one, if you're looking to remove some sex organs, this is what you got to listen to.
Gee, I sure wish I were a woman, but I can't afford one of those expensive operations.
How many times have you said that? You can dress like a woman and act like a woman, but that package you're carrying around in your briefs gives you away every single time. Well, now, thanks to Frigamall Industries, your troubles are over. Frigamall has taken a good idea one step further. Sir, have you seen the commercial for the famous NADS hair removal system?
Sure.
Good. Let's try it.
Okay.
We'll simply spread on a little paste right here on your amazingly hairy chest.
Huh?
And then instantly pull this patch of hair off your body.
Let her rip.
Oh, ouch. Oh.
Hey, boy, that stuff sure took the hair right off. And now my legs, chest, and ass are all looking great.
Frigamall has used the same NADS system in the creation of our new product, Gonads. Simply spread a little paste on your testicles, let it sit for a few moments to work its magic. And then...
Here goes nothing.
No!
Hey,
It worked. They're gone.
Yes, gonads. Instantly removes unwanted male genitalia with only minor discomfort. Gonads. Pick some up today in the ball removal section of your pharmacy.
No!
Ouch.
Can I... Can I hear the middle part where you say, hey, they're gone, one more time? I'd like to hear that again.
I'm gonna burst an artery.
Here goes nothing.
No!
Hey, it worked. They're gone.
Great. You know, I was in the pharmacy the other day, and I did not find the ball removal section. I was allergies.
No?
Yeah, I just couldn't find it. You know,
it's been out of gonads.
Yeah, alphabetical or whatever it is. That's a real silly bit. You hit the nail on the head with that sort of that 90s commercial. Hey, does this ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the sound? The sound of the pop.
I think it's pretty, you know what, it's pretty
it sounds
obvious.
Sounds like Velcro, right?
Velcro, yeah.
Yeah.
Velcro, and then I'd forgotten that you could actually kind of hear the testicles dropping and getting thrown away.
Nowadays, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the woman's voice on there.
Oh, yeah, it's not yours.
No.
Sped up or whatever. Okay.
And I don't know if you'd remember her or not. She was one of the receptionists, then she went into sales or traffic or something, but this ages ago, but Melissa.
Okay.
But yeah, she came and just had that smile in her voice. Yeah. Hey, they're gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
And she's on a handful of things. Her voice is pretty recognizable. Yeah.
Is it from Koviak?
What's that?
No, this was pre her. Yeah, I don't know how that again. That bit might be about 20 years old.
I'm guessing
20 to 25. Yeah. A lot of times, 90s. I take it where what album it's from is I'm guessing.
Yeah, that one was just I feel like that was maybe my dad. Just he saw the product in ads, and then his head went to go, and then he goes, "Well, we're just gonna write this. We're gonna make something happen here."
Yeah, pretty sure.
I cannot believe this product is named this. Can't they imagine? What about if it was named this? And, ooh, this could be a bit. Maybe it was one of those kind of things.
Yep. Well, that's where, there's so many bits come from that. And, I assume a lot of things with Dean, and I'm speaking for Dean here as he's sitting here. But
that's good. That's going to take a load off. Go ahead. There's
Dean gets handed scripts all the time, or something happens on the air and he just wings it. There's a lot of times no in between with you, right?
Because it kind of that's the Ian St. Ian. I was thinking about that because that I'm almost sure that was a Roger Naylor.
Oh, really?
Script.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Especially a lot of that that writing and that wording.
Okay.
A lot of the Larry King and
he does a lot of the interview show scripts.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a lot of that word stuff he would get into. But yeah, I was trying to remember. There's another bit like that. That
bit reminds me of Crisco.
The amazing Crisco.
The whole here we go. yeah. It's very similar theme. And mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a. Yeah, get your feet set and go.
I have a kind of dumb sort of question, I guess.
There are no dumb questions, Willie. There are only dumb people asking them. Go ahead.
I don't know if it's just not about the podcast. Nowadays, if you're saying like Velcro, that did you like literally tore Velcro next to a microphone?
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, do you like that's like Foley kind of work? Now, will you just grab things offline or are you
It depends on what it is because sometimes it sounds funnier or whatever. But yeah, a lot of times now you can find just about anything you want. Mm.
But back in those days, Willie,
in my day,
they hadn't invented an internet yet.
We used our ears for microphones. That didn't work.
So what'd you do for the balls dropping? Was it popping your finger
probably,
in your mouth?
Yeah, it probably was just some kind of a. But I may have actually dropped something to get that hit.
I always think of going with this, the Apollo 13 and a half bit where something just slaps onto the table.
Yeah.
Do you remember
like
what that was?
No idea, but
because it sounded real.
I know.
Large.
Yeah.
Because I heard an interview with Adam McKay. He was talking about in the movie Vice, they were in the White House eating croissants and they wanted to make sure the croissants sounded very crunchy because they figured if you were in the White House, they'd have really crunchy croissants. And so I love the idea of like a Foley artist stressing over that. And then you being here 4 hours after after work being like, I just can't get these balls to sound like they're falling out.
These do not sound like testicles at all.
Getting disheartened and yeah.
Like, well, but there's also the matter of like sometimes just trying to be in a hurry and get it done. That's the one that always cracks Tom and Chick up that they'll play is that the Folger, the coffee thing, whatever it was, where the Stalker's Choice coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Where I didn't have a door creak sound, right. So I was like, because it's one of those things I thought, nobody's going to notice it. It goes by
right,
the background. And I mean, they just zone right in. Yes. What is that?
It is so funny. I love it.
One of my dad's favorite things to do. Hey, someone made a minor mistake. Here's the microscope. Let's look at it for the rest of the show. Yes.
But yeah, I deserve every bit of that because I'm also the one that's back there grabbing audio of, oh, listen to this screw up now. Let's play this over and over and everybody has
Let's see what happens if we put this under Hell's Bells.
I feel like that bit, we pulled you yelling and then, hey, they're gone. You know, it worked. That just those two clips we've used for station imaging promos for years.
Oh, that's
so
right,
maybe you just hear that yell and you're like, I kind of forgot the whole bit, what it's from or like where it comes from. So that's kind of a nice refresher.
All right, we got a couple more bits. And this one, again, we have a lot of famous weirdos that call into the show.
Gary had an accident, remember, where he wasn't wearing his helmet and he claims crashed
he's okay.
On a motorcycle.
Hold on. Morning, Bob and Tom Show.
Bob and Tom Show is Gary Buse.
Hey, Gary, listen,
I understand you're getting divorced.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, ain't much you can do about it except, you know, write it off to jealousy.
Jealousy?
Yeah, she's jealous because of my bad monkey I keep in the basement.
Your bad monkey?
I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's got a...
Lower companion, I know
lower
that.
Lower companion, a dark elf monkey.
Uh-huh. Now, I didn't know it was a dark elf monkey.
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually a simian-esque, then, is this an actual furry monkey, or is this kind of an illusory spectral monkey? Some kind of ghost-like creature.
You know, Tom, it really is just kind of a symbol of everybody's darker side.
I see. Mm. So you can't actually see the monkey. Do you have to feed the monkey?
Oh, hell yeah, I can see
the monkey.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
What the hell are you from?
You can see the monkey.
Can anyone else see the
there
monkey?
There you go.
Basement. You'd see a little 3-foot monkey with his feet crammed in pointy little elf feet.
So,
I mean, if you know where to look, you know, back behind the hot water heater.
So, your lower companion monkey, dark side monkey, he lives behind the hot water. Is it a gas or electric hot water heater?
Well, I don't know what the hell that's got to do with it. It's a gas heater, 50-gallon model.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He doesn't live back there.
He doesn't?
Oh, he just stays back there?
Why is that?
Well, one time I got mad and I kicked my monkey.
Oh, my.
Don't kick your monkey.
You know, that's what happens when you don't listen to your dark monkey.
Does your little monkey wear shoes?
He crammed in little pointy elf shoes.
Oh, he's got the elf shoes on. See, I was confused.
Of course, the little vest and the fez.
And the fez.
So your dark companion has a fez.
Oh, yeah.
What, do you have a name for your dark companion?
Well, you know, that's not really important.
I'm just curious. How do you address your dark companion, dark side monkey?
Of course, by his name, Theodore.
Theodore.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Gary. I that really cleared it up for me.
Well, you know, I appreciate them coming and asking me about when the bad monkey.
No, wait a minute. We're hearing.
Hey,
the
I heard that
now.
Monkey.
In the basement, monkey.
I heard that.
Well, of course you heard it.
You're not making that sound, are you?
No, of course I. No, of course I ain't making that noise.
No, I heard him talking at the same
time. I did, too.
I think there really is a monkey.
There might be a monkey here. Why you think there wouldn't be a monkey here?
I there's a monkey there.
Is your monkey trained?
What do you mean by trained?
Well, I just wondering if
he do any tricks.
Can he do anything besides, you know, wear the elf shoes?
Well, I mean, you know... Likes to jerk off and throw poop.
That's pretty much
your typical monkey.
Did you teach him that?
Now, I want to get back to the uniform. He's wearing pointy elf shoes and a fez.
And a vest.
And a vest.
And a vest. Okay, yes. Is he wearing any trousers?
Oh, no.
monkey don't wear trousers.
What about a diaper?
That's why it makes it possible for him to throw.
That's no diaper.
That's what I was wondering. So he can just...
You know, it's really hard to be a dark elf companion monkey when you're wearing a diaper.
Sure.
Really sort of
people don't take you seriously if you've got a diaper.
It was a dark diaper, though.
But of course, it does make it a little bit easier to get the kid party gigs blowing up the balloons.
Mm-hmm. If you got the diaper.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, could you send our best to Theodore, Gary? We have to go now.
Thanks, Gary.
You know what I think?
What?
I think I might have me some biscuits or mustard.
Okay. Fried potatoes.
That's good. Bye.
That is about as weird as a call-in can get.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
That's probably really close to Gary Busey,
That's what I was going to say. I'd forgotten all about that. But it's Busey's fault because of the quote. That whole thing was based on this real...
Yep.
Quote that he made
that he has a dark companion.
Yeah,
he was. And I think was it talking about River Phoenix?
That sounds familiar.
And I think he was talking about like a shadow self type situation, right?
And he was saying that unfortunately River Phoenix. I think it was about River Phoenix that like he couldn't just tell his dark side lower companion
right
to stay in the basement to go in the basement
right. Right.
Kids
right.
Play. It was this really weird statement. And we just jumped on it.
And I forgot that was an ongoing situation. Like you called in as him a lot for a while.
Oh yeah, because it became a character, and then we would do. Then there was a show, Gary Busey's Basement.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I have to look at those.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm
where were you interviewed? Dennis Rodman, and Charlie Manson.
No way. Yeah. Oh, man.
Did he talk to Charles Barkley ever? Or am I going crazy?
No, that was later.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
There were just a couple of those basements.
There were just a few of them.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many characters you have voiced, reoccurring characters, as opposed to like a one-off?
No. I mean, I never really sit around and think about that. Because so many of them in the old days were just somebody from a news story right then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was either the real person or something based on that or whatever.
But I bet I could come up with maybe 12 to 15 of that you've called in more than once.
Right. And there were characters, a couple of them that were like Dwayne the Dumbass.
Yep.
That
would yep.
call in
just, yeah.
a lot. And he was just real slow and stupid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He hung around with Sid Gurney.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
And then like, I can't remember the one that would yell a lot, and he was
like the guy with the lady in the pit, or
no?
Is that
this
even
was
a different
like
one?
This was like this kid Timmy or something, and he would get upset, and I think that because like I think that they when they heard it they thought that he was had developmental disabilities or something like that, which wasn't really the way I was picturing it, but I think that's why they were just it made them uncomfortable or whatever. But Timmy was very, very excitable, and also I think it hurt their ears because Timmy yelled and talked really loud.
Nice. Yeah, like in this one, you could tell there's times when you don't know where it's going, and Bob asked what his name was. You're like, that's not important.
That's not
But then you did come
it
up with
it. Buys you a little bit of time, and then you can just throw it in.
You know what bought you a lot of time was, hell yeah, I can see the monkey. Hell yeah. That's such a killer line.
Of course it can.
So one thing that I want to point out is just how funny you are. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to point that out. It's obvious.
Everybody can tell. The people know, obviously. Yeah. But one thing that I want to point out from a very like comedy nerd POV, when I was taking improv classes, they would always tell you in scenes, and obviously there's no hard and fast rules. You can do whatever you want in improv. Mm-hmm. But a big rule is you never ask questions.
Right.
Because you never want to put somebody on the spot. Mm-hmm. You never want to go, hey, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, we're going to go to the party where your sister is. You go, hey, let's go to the party where my sister is. Like, you want to help give information instead of putting someone on the spot.
Gotcha.
And all they do,
all they ever
is the
do,
opposite.
Is ask questions.
Yes.
And so when you called in the past, I try to be leading a little bit if I'm trying to like assert something, if I'm like trying to guide you somewhere. But that is so hard. Mm-hmm. That's you're in the batting cage and there's a volleyball coming at you. Like, that's.
But I think that's what makes it fun is because it's, there's no net. You're just kind of doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, after all these years, I learned pretty early on, you call in and you think, oh, this is going to be funny because A. And A does nothing, but something else will happen and that becomes funny. So just like you go into it knowing, anything could happen. But it is. It's funny, just like on that thing. Why? Why did Tom ask if it was gas or electric?
Yeah.
Where improv wise, where the hell is that going to lead? How's that going to lead to comedy?
That's just Tom. Just I think that it was. It's almost like they're volleying with you. They want you to drop the ball because it'll be funny or whatever, and so they do that to you. That was my question. Like, kind of piggyback on what Willie said. Like, your origin story was you were an intern here, like a lot of us, right?
Right.
But, like, to go from intern to producer of the show, like, it just, that's huge.
Yeah, there's no way else around.
I don't know how you don't get nervous. Like, if you call in and if, say they don't laugh and you're like, well, crap. And then your heart just starts pounding like, I don't know. Like, you don't freak out. You're like, you know, I'm just going to keep going because I can play.
I don't know. I think those are those moments you see Dean with the double bird.
Did young Dean ever give the double bird or ever have to give a bird? Or
man, I don't remember at what point it became okay to
flip off your
tell
boss.
Them all just to kiss my ass.
I bet the first time you did it, they're like, did our intern just flip us off? It's like, well, he's been here for 15 years. So.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. It was probably later on when they're usually goading me, you know,
right,
going,
right.
Oh, well, Dean, how about if we did it? Yeah, how about right.
Right. And then I have one more dumb question. Did biscuits and mustard, is that some sort of Gary Busey reference?
No, it's just straight to Sling Blade.
Oh, okay, because it murders. It just
Because we, I think we all realize at the same time, well, I'm sitting here talking like this, and all of a sudden it's like this, maybe.
And everyone was talking like that. At the time, everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
But it sounded like an insane person, so Gary Busey.
It all fits, yeah. Have you guys seen any of Gary Busey Pet Judge?
No.
Is this new?
This is for real, and I thought it was a joke. Gary Busey came up a while back on the air, and some listener said a thing saying, you know, Gary Busey Pet Judge. So I look it up, and it's a real show, and I thought that it was like a reality show like People's Court. So that's the setup. It's like these people come in. They've got some kind of dispute over a pet.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's this couple that's either, I don't know if they're still married, divorced, whatever, but they're arguing about their dead dog, whether they can have him. One wants to have a Viking funeral. The other wants to have him cremated or something. So, you know, great premise for a show because then Gary Busey is the judge. But the thing is, it's like written, and these are actors and stuff.
Okay.
But he's still Gary Busey. So it's the weirdest.
Wild.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's actors. It's probably safer that way because I don't know. He is holding a gavel in the promo shot, which is in his face is all, well, Gary Busey-like. Gary Busey. So.
Did you say what channel this was on?
I don't remember. It's one of the, found it through cable on demand.
You can watch it now with a Prime Video subscription.
There you go.
Well, I'll be checking brag. That
I've
out
got,
later.
I've got Prime Video. You're a Prime member, huh? Yeah. Wow. Dean's got Prime Video.
I got Prime money.
I also love that bit, you know, when we take things from the show and just it becomes part of our life. Like at home, it's like, we're going to cook. There's some potatoes in there. There might be some potatoes in here. You know, there might be a monkey in here. I still do those things.
And so many of those things that I've done over the years that Max will hear on like 24/7 in the morning, or he'll hear later and he'll be like, I thought all these years that was yours. Yeah. And I was like,
And here's the thing. A lot of those things, Chick then has borrowed from someone else.
Oh, you gosh. Know,
the
yes.
lineage of some of these pieces. That and still live on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many things that will come up and they don't remember the origin or like something else will come in. So the one that always gets me, and I've never mentioned it to him, but the whole fish thing.
We just asked this last week.
Yeah. Oh, where did it go from?
So quick, everybody relax.
I know. I wrote down one question, and it was I wanted to hear Dean's fish origin story.
Yes.
This is the kind of cutting edge stuff we've been waiting for.
This was not set up. Yes, go, Dean.
No, so I heard, I don't know if it was a pod, I don't know where it was. I heard somebody asking Chick about that, or maybe they're talking about it on the air, and he had some weird explanation of what it meant or where it came from.
He told me that it was something they did in high school. And he said it was something like for him that it was when you get somebody hooked, like you lie and you get them hooked.
Right.
And then they would say fish. And I was just like, I know that's not true.
Right.
I know that's not true.
It's partly true, but it never happened to him.
Oh,
I had told him about my buddy Barry Casey when we were kids. he was the one, they would do that. So okay. he would say some lie or whatever, you know, he's, and, you know, you fall for it and you're like, you're kidding, you know, you met mm-hmm. Elvis or whatever. Yeah. And you go, fish. Oh. And just move with it. Where you,
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, this fish swimming backwards.
Fish swimming backwards.
It's almost awkward turtle.
It is awkward
yeah.
turtle.
So like yeah. the fish, except he's the
swimming back toward, yeah, fish.
There was a summer at camp where awkward turtle, it would go, grr, awkward turtle.
Yes, the whole thing.
It was
yes.
very popular. It was
grr?
Very weird.
I've yeah, never
go,
heard
like
this.
A, you make a bear thing. It was like, I want to say 2006, it was everywhere. And then the next year I like showed up early and I did it and they were like, we don't do that anymore.
Okay, first off, awkward turtle is all wrong anyway, because the way that people do it, it looks like his shell is still on top. Wouldn't awkward turtle be his shell is on the ground and he's stuck because he can't move? Oh. And he's like, help me, I'm an awkward turtle.
That looks really that's, explicit.
That's super right there. Super
these awkward. Are my, I'm placing one hand on top of another hand. Yeah, like, that
palm
would be the awkward
up.
Turtle, like, help me, because it's the shell, be your knuckles. Otherwise, he's just walking. He's just
well, no, but it might have been something he said that was really awkward.
Oh, so he just awkwardly
yeah, it's not
walks
his physical.
Oh. I was thinking
and he's
he
coming
felt
backwards.
Awkward, like, help me, I'm stuck.
Yeah, no, we're not gravity shaming him. We're just.
I'm sorry, turtles yeah. everywhere.
But that's it. That's the origin of fish.
So, yeah, but how did it bleed into the studio, though? You know,
because I think that somehow I had told Chick about it at some point. Like, we started joking around about, you know, fish. Mm. And so that sound became, you know,
right.
fish.
That, but he would always stop the show. He would do it.
That's
would do
what
that.
I don't remember okay. is why the hell.
And then it's, it has nothing to do with lying or hooking anybody. It's any reference
yes,
to
just
fish.
Flat out fish.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
sometimes it'll be like, it's a pun. Like you're talking about the baseball player, Mike
yes.
Trout. And sometimes you're just talking about salmon.
Yeah.
No pun involved. Mm-hmm. And then you still do the fish thing.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So I think I like the show How I Met Your Mother, despite what Tom thinks. It's fine. Different generations. I'm a different demo altogether. Mm-hmm. In that TV show, anytime they would say general or major, they'd be like, oh, that's a major setback. And they go, major setback, and do a salute.
Oh.
And I would also think, I wonder if that's from the fish. You know, you just found a way to play into a game or, you know,
sure,
just a
sure.
coincidence. I've always been Team Bob and Tom, like everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone's stealing from the show somehow.
Sure.
And by the way, Jessica, if you're worried about liking things that my dad likes, then you wouldn't like anything. So just
I did watch The Americans. I'll give it to him. I should have watched that a long time ago.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
really good.
But he's just the king of being like, yeah, I went out this weekend. Or I'll say, like, yeah, I went out and I saw a movie. And he just goes, terrible movie. I'm like, oh, did you see it? He goes, oh, no, I haven't seen it. Okay, well, now we know the origin of fish. And then here we have an absolute classic fishing show.
Oh, no.
Time now for Fishing with Dino and the Boys with your host, Dino. This week, Dino and the Boys are fishing for pike in Michigan. Fishing with Dino today, Carol O'Connor, Howie Mandel, former Vice President Spiro T. Agnew, and Clyde Lee. Now let's go fishing with Dino and the Boys.
Sure is a pretty day. Yeah.
Join us next week for Fishing with Dino and the Boys.
Non-stop excitement.
We'll be in the Louisiana Bayou. Frog gigging.
Ooh, that's next week. Frog gigging.
Wow,
that'd
be cool.
I love that feature.
Boy. Fishing with the Boys.
Fishing with Dino and the Boys. Yeah, that was... That was a good show.
That was pretty. That's obscure because I don't
exciting.
Know if any of those ever made an album.
Oh how, no! How
no.
could they?
But then again, you know, I mean,
well,
the
yeah,
that,
and I know we did quite a few of them, and mm-hmm. that was always the gag was just kind of what names were going to get thrown in there, and there were usually some local ones like Clyde.
Clyde Lee was a local
newscaster.
Yeah,
I was wondering
which
why
made me laugh
because yeah. it murders
yeah.
in the room. Everybody
yeah, yeah.
loves it.
Oh yeah,
it was dated a long time ago.
Yeah, it was dated then.
And that Howie Mandel is that comedian Howie Mandel or is that what's the brief. Case game. Is that Deal or No Deal host Howie Mandel?
I'm thinking Bobby.
Oh,
that... Could it be Bobby's World time period maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Or
this was late 80s at best, right? I mean, these?
That would have been
early
90s
maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
but,
Howie
yeah.
Mandel is still a pretty obscure reference then.
Oh, it would have been Howie Mandel blowing up rubber
Stand
gloves
up,
on
yeah.
his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like household name Howie Mandel. Mm-mm. That's wild.
Comedian.
Before he sold out, Willie.
Before he sold out. Hey, you know, I'll tell you, everybody knows this about me. I am waiting to sell out. Whoever wants me to sell out, I will sell out fast.
Totally
no integrity.
Available. That's totally available to sell
no
out.
No soul. Yeah, I mean, whoever wants me, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. I do like Howie Mandel's Animals Doing Things, that TV show. Got to check it out.
Wow. I've heard the name.
Of Howie, yeah.
I mean, Animals Doing Things.
Yeah. It's on Disney Plus.
Really? I didn't know that was real.
It's really fun.
That sounds like the guy that was pitching the show was just hung over. And he had he knew it had to be. Yeah, it's animals. They're doing things, you know?
I want Dino animals doing stuff.
Yeah.
So then I would watch that TV show.
That, we should totally just rip them off.
So stuff and things.
Forget about animals doing things. That's lame. We're doing animals doing stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And some of them, maybe some butt stuff, because, you know.
It's, animals do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we go to the dog park all the time, and you'll see
it's
that.
It's kind of like all they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're animals.
You'll see that happen.
They love it. They love it. They don't ask permission or anything.
Imagine if they did.
Oh, you know,
there's like a little paw on them, may I? And then, you know, a little nod, and around the back they go.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is that you talk about the Me Too movement. Yeah. Dogs ought to have a Me Too movement.
Oh, no.
No consent.
They don't even ask.
You guys didn't hear? They got Air Bud. Yeah, he's gone. They canceled the Air Bud.
Totally makes sense.
It was really bad. And also, he had some tweets from 2012 that were not good. Yeah, you do not want to hear that guy talk about cats when he's had it. He gets a little loose. It's not good.
The one guy I was impressed with that not a single skeleton in his closet, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, wow.
Nothing.
The guy's a saint, Scooby. I mean, absolutely. He's got an eating problem, but we've all got our issues.
He's got some issues, but sexually, no, he's just...
He's always getting that contact high with Shaggy.
That's true.
Which, ironically, after you get in trouble, I feel like the best thing you can say is, "Ruh-roh." And he doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that because he's just always munching with his pals.
Everything to him is... it's a joke.
I know this is very silly. I could do this for 10 more minutes. I could just... Really low key. Scooby Doo is a good guy joke.
About. So, I don't know if you remember this, but before you were born, do you remember that?
No, little Willie.
I remember that.
Sure,
I remember
Belly Willie.
Yeah. So Sam and Willie would be in here in the mornings, and that's how they would get stuck on bits and
sure.
stuff. And I always tell the story. So Sam, he had to have been 11 or 12 by this time. 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. But every time I would record a script with him, I would sit there and just feed him line by line. Okay, now say, you know, wow, we're having a great time or whatever, line by line. And finally, this one day, I'm sitting there recording him. Okay, Sam, you're going to say, and I looked up at him and I go, you can read, can't you? And he just looks and goes, yeah, Dino, I've been able to read for years. Why didn't you mention it, you little brat?
He's just like, he's got braces on.
Right, yeah.
I can read.
I can read. Yeah. But so young Willie, one day I had to pick you up after school or something to take you home and hang out. And you were a kid. I mean, he's like 8, 9, whatever he was. And my wife and I still use this quote because we're sitting there and Willie goes, Dino, would you like some cheese sticks? Like he has those little cheese sticks. He goes, would you like some cheese sticks? They're good for snacking. this little host boy. Uh-huh. So to this day, it's like if Shannon and I get something out, you know, like open some chips or whatever, it's like, Shannon, would you like some chips? They're good for snacking.
That rules. Fantastic. And you know what? I stand by that.
No, you were absolutely correct. You were way ahead of your time.
Cheese sticks are great for snacking.
They're great for snacking.
A high calcium snack. Okay, gang. Well, thank you for listening to Bits and Pieces. Dino, thank you so much for doing this.
I apologize. Yes. I wasn't listening. What?
Oh, Dean, you've been such a, like, you've been like the fun uncle and a mentor and like been so many things to so many of us. Thanks.
You wait. There's so many more things to come. He's going to be that grouchy guy that... Yeah, accidentally hit us.
Well, luckily, that's just with Chick. That's not with any of us.
No, yeah. That's still to come.
Dean's a great guy. Taught me how to tell a joke. Taught me how to play guitar. He hit me when I was a kid.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to do like several versions, I feel like, of the Dean episode. I'm just sat here kind of like an idiot. Like again, geeking out. When Christy and Chick's in here, I'm just like listening to stories. You're talking. It's like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It's more fun if it's not about me. Like if it's about other stuff.
Well, it's about characters that you may have had something to do with.
Sure.
So there's a little bit of you. Sure. But yeah. Chick doesn't like it when we talk about him because it sounds like he's dad. I can't listen.
He just said it 2 hours ago.
He just said that. Yes. Yeah, he said, I just always feel like I'm at my own wake.
Yeah.
Maybe it's your attitude when you come in the door.
Okay. A little fire from Jason. I'm going to tell him you said that. This is Bits and Pieces. If you like us, rate and subscribe. Thank you so much for listening.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.